You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, running solo. For the moment, we have a special draft-filled episode talking about the Dodgers draft with Justin Lorber of Future Dodgers. So we're going to get into that real quick. And also just some quick news. Jock Peterson was traded and not to the Dodgers. He was traded to the Braves. It's very possible he could get traded again if the Braves struggle in the next 10 days or so. But that remains to be seen. Either way, Jock Peterson not going to the Dodgers for the time being. And now let's get into our conversation with Justin Lorber of Future Dodgers. All right, we're here with Justin Lorber of Future Dodgers at Future Dodgers on Twitter. And we're talking the Dodgers draft. Jeff and I had both just looked at the Dodgers full draft and realized that we didn't really know anything. So we had to call on, I think this is the third year in a row that we're calling on Justin to break down the Dodgers draft and let us know what to expect. So Justin, I'm gonna pass it to you and you can kind of take it where you want.
All right. Well, this draft, I think as most people know, or even casual people who might've seen what happened would know, this draft is all about pitchers and specifically the pitching at the top, the high upside high school pitchers. And those are the kind of guys who are going to make this class. So it's, I think it's something that, you know, we'll need a couple years for sure to see some returns. But you got to love the upside, I think, at the top of the class with Maddox Bruns and Peter Hubeck.
Was that a trend that, you know, we saw the Dodgers and Angels both picked almost entirely pitchers. I think the Giants picked a bunch of pitchers. Was that something that was a trend throughout the league, or was it just happened to be on the West Coast? I know that Billy Gasparino said that they didn't go into the draft with that plan of taking all pitchers. It was just that every time it was their turn, the highest person on their board happened to be a pitcher. So, and they were just going with the best player available. So A, was that a trend overall? And B, do you believe Billy Gasparino when he says that, or do you think he's lying to us?
I don't know about a trend overall. I think that something that does come into play was the effect of the shutdown on pitchers versus hitters. Probably easier for pitchers to get their development work in without game action than it would be for hitters who, you know, would need more live at bats. So I think you can be a little more sure in some of the gains that certain pitchers made because you have the data and you're able to see what kind of pitches they sort of throw in and progression there. Do I believe him? Yeah. You know, I don't think they went into that draft intending to make 14 pitcher selections in a row. You know, one thing he did say in his press conference was, you know, when they were comparing some of the bats on the board to guys that they have in the lower runs of their organization, the ACL Dodgers at Camelback Ranch, or probably low A, Rancho Cucamonga, you know, they just, you know, wanted to get the guys that they already had more at bats. They didn't want to mess with that. And, you know, I think that shows you the kind of confidence they have and, you know, who they have at the lower levels on the hitting side. But also, you know, this was a good draft for pitchers. I think the college bat class, most people considered this college bat class to be weaker relative to recent years. And there's a lot of good pitchers in this draft, and they drafted a lot of high upside guys.
So let's go with number one, just Maddox Bruns, you know, number one pick because he gets the most hype. Lefty out of high school, the first lefty out of high school they've taken since Clayton Kershaw, named after Greg Maddox. What can you tell us about Maddox Bruns and why we should be excited?
Yeah, so named after Greg Maddox does not really pitch like Greg Maddox. This is high-octane stuff from the left side. Mid-90s fastball, he's been up to 97, 98. Two breaking balls that have flashed above average, a slider and a curveball. And I think when you consider that package, that's going to remind some people, at least of the pitch mix, and I want to be clear, this is not a comparison. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, get these expectations too high, but the pitch mix is going to remind some people of Clayton Kershaw. Vertical arm slot, high vertical release, lefty, fastball with some carry, and the two breaking balls. And he has a changeup right now. It's his fourth pitch, but, you know, I think, you know, in a few years, maybe that overtakes one of the two breaking balls, perhaps. But this is a special, special arm. The concern here is the strike throwing. And it was a concern that, you know, made a guy with his kind of arm talent not considered really anywhere near the first round, at least by most of the public mocks and rankings. He wasn't really a first round arm, but the Dodgers didn't have a second round pick. So he was someone who I think you could say probably wasn't going to fall to their next pick, at least if he was signable, because the arm talent is just so special. And if he throws enough strikes, this is not just a starting pitcher, but a guy who could, you know, front a rotation with his stuff, but it shouldn't depend on, you know, the kind of pitcher he turns into, not just the pure stuff.
We were talking to Ryan Pepiot the other day, and you know, you could kind of say some similar things about him when the Dodgers drafted him. His big concern, or the big knock on him, was command, throwing strikes. And it seems like, you know, between his natural progression and being in the Dodgers system, they've been able to address that already somewhat, and it's continuing to improve. Do you think the Dodgers have, what is it about the Dodgers organization that makes them comfortable drafting a guy who struggles to throw strikes and believing that they can help fix that?
I mean, I think it's, you know, just an organizational philosophy. And Maddox Bruns is not the only guy like that that they took in this draft. Their fourth rounder, Nick Destrini, had a lot of trouble throwing strikes in the Pac-12 this year. He had more walks than innings pitched, which is, you know, never a good thing. So they, based on how they've drafted, they seem to believe that, you know, they can take some of these guys with great pure stuff and get them to be better strike throwers. Now, that isn't, you know, a league-wide belief. Kylie McDaniel of ESPN wrote an article just a few months ago talking about how teams are really looking to the Indians pitching development. You know, they've been so good at developing pitchers who did not go in the first round into premium starting pitchers, guys like Shane Bieber, Aaron Civale, Zach Plesac. Those guys were all mid-round picks, and they've been able to develop them into good major league starting pitchers. And coming out of college, all those guys were command over stuff, and they developed better stuff once they got into a major league organization. So for someone like Michael McGreevy, who went 18th to the Cardinals, that was kind of the play there. You had an athletic, younger arm, but throws a lot of strikes. So maybe we think he gets into a major league development system and starts throwing more strikes. The Dodgers really went in the other direction. They took stuff over command with the hope that the command will come later. And based on their history of development, you know, I feel like you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, at least if you don't already believe that that's something that they can do.
Built Bars, they taste great. They're great for you. And there's really very few reasons I can see why you wouldn't get Built Bars. One of those reasons being if you don't like chocolate. But if you don't like chocolate, it's probably a little bit more to that story than you needing a protein bar in your life. You need to figure out why you don't like chocolate. But either way, Built Bars, they're great. They're great for you. Like I've mentioned plenty of times, I've personally bought Built Bars before, and they are a perfect snack for any time of the day, for whatever part, post-gym, pre-gym, whatever you're going to do. Built Bars are right there to do it for you. And every bar, real quick, let's just run through. They got 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams sugar, 45 grams net carbs. Imagine having a great tasting candy bar. That's what a Built Bar is, except it's a protein bar, so it also adds protein and other things for you. Right now, you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I was going to ask, you know, you mentioned stuff over command. I was going to ask, just in general, between all these pitchers, was there any type of trend, you know, specific type pitch types or spin rates or whatever the case may be? Was there any trends among all the picks they took?
Yeah, definitely. I think, as you guys know, the game has kind of moved away from sinkers and two-seamers, guys who spot their fastball low in the zone, to guys who can throw their fast four-seam fastball in the zone for whiffs, up in the zone and get whiffs, you know, high spin, high vertical movement. And the Dodgers, based on how they've drafted, that's a trend that they believe at least is here to stay for the next 3 to 5 years. Pretty much all of their guys, at least in the first, you know, the first 10 picks or so, all pitchers, of course, were guys who can throw their four seam fastball in the zone for whiffs, above average to, in some cases, elite vertical movement. So that was a trend that was noticeable in the sense that the way the game is moving, but trends change, you know, development trends change all the time. But that's one that, you know, reading the tea leaves, they think is here to stay for a little bit.
With Brun specifically, you know, you mentioned that he wasn't necessarily universally seen as a first round pick. Do you think that gives the Dodgers an opportunity to save some money on signing him, to apply towards some of their later picks? You know, just kind of for anybody who's not aware, there's slot values assigned to each draft pick, each spot in the draft. And, you know, you have your total draft pool that is basically just adding up all of those slots, and you can spend that however you want. And so we've seen in the past, sometimes the Dodgers will take a guy maybe a little bit higher than he would have gone, knowing they can sign him for less and they can spend some of that money. I think that's how they were able to sign the high school kid from last year, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, the really fast guy. What's his name?
Vogel.
Yeah, Vogel. So is that kind of the play with Bruns, do you think?
I think it could be. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if it was below slot, if it was at slot, or if it was over slot. Based on how they drafted in rounds 4 through 10, I think they're going to get most, if not all, under slot there. So they'll save some money with those picks. Peter Hubach is definitely going to be over slot, probably significantly over slot. And I think what I'm interested to see is where Bruns comes in and how that affects Hubach and whether they're able to sign him, and what effect that might have on a guy like Michael Sirota, their 16th rounder, their first position player taken. Gasparino said they don't, at this point, expect him to sign. They think it'll be probably a tougher sign, strong commitment to Northeastern. But, you know, if circumstances change, maybe that comes into play. But I do think that circumstances changing would be someone like Hubach or Bruns not signing, which would be suboptimal.
Yeah, we've seen a Dodgers first round pick committed to Mississippi State or Ole Miss, one of those, not signed before, so it wouldn't be the first one. You know, every year we talk to you and we ask you, you know, what to get excited about, but who are you excited about, you know, outside the first five picks that you think can make a real contribution, whether soon or at least in the near future?
Outside the first five picks, so I'll go first, seventh, and eighth round. Two relievers, Ryan Sublette, a righty from Texas Tech, and Ben Harris, a lefty from Georgia. Both guys who pitched really well in relief for their respective teams this year. And guys who, you know, if they stay in relief, which I think that they should, could potentially move quickly. You know, we've seen them fast track relievers before through the minor leagues. Haven't really gotten a chance to see that, at least in the last couple years. The COVID shutdown year kind of made that a little weird. But those are two guys who I think could move pretty quickly if they remain relievers. Another guy, very high upside, is 12th rounder Ronan Kopp. Kind of similar pitch mix to Bruns, mid-90s fastball, a couple of breaking balls. He went to the MLB draft league this year, facing, you know, not premium college talent, but still college players, you know, 21, 22, and 23-year-olds as a 19-year-old, and pitched really well. So his issue, similar to Bruns, can he throw enough strikes? Because the stuff is really good. A lot of upside there if they can get him signed, and I think they will.
Another thing we've seen the Dodgers do in the past is go after guys with injury history whose draft stock had fallen because of that, and so they're able to pick up guys who maybe normally would have been much higher, but because of their current health situation, they're able to get them lower. You know, Walker Buehler is obviously the one that comes to mind, but he was still a first rounder, you know, so maybe he's not the most extreme example. But are there any examples of that, of guys who the Dodgers kind of bet on, a guy whose health isn't currently great, but thought, okay, we can get some value here?
Yeah, definitely. Justin Robleski, who is the 11th rounder. Billy Gasparino said they thought he was a top five round guy. Had Tommy John earlier this spring, so he won't be able to pitch for probably another year or so. But they thought that he was a guy who should go in the top five rounds. Certainly talented. He's been known for a while. He was a, you know, pretty notable guy coming out of high school, was at Clemson for a year, transferred to a JUCO, went to Oklahoma State this year, pitched pretty well. So he's someone, another vertically breaking fastball guy who, when he comes back, could make an impact and could be a prospect to watch.
Was there any guys that the Dodgers had available at the moment that you would have liked them to take that they didn't take? I know you usually have a list of guys that you really like, and anyone of that nature?
Yeah, there were a lot of guys. This was a deep class. A big part of that was, you know, only five rounds last year. So you had a lot of college guys who went back to school last year, just a very deep overall class. And I think the complication with that is you had a lot of college guys announce that they were going back to school. So even though you had college players, because the COVID year gave them an extra year of eligibility, they had more leverage than usual. So it's hard to say who was signable where. I think that with college players, this has been probably the weirdest draft for signability, just because you had a lot of 22-year-olds in the mix. You had kids, you know, who were really COVID freshmen is what they were called, because they had an abbreviated freshman year last year. This is really their only full season. And then they were draft eligible, because normally they would be draft eligible sophomores. Jack Leiter, number two overall pick, is probably the best example of that. So it was a weird year. I'm not sure I can say, well, I would have done differently at a lot of picks, but also I'm not in the room and I'm not a professional. So I'd like to give them the credit for making the picks that they made.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And with baseball season in full swing, you can track all the action at Bet Online. They have all the news, odds, and info you need, not just for MLB, but for all the other sports going on, especially for the Olympics coming up, UFC, MMA, NBA, while it still goes on. Everything you need, you have it at Bet Online. They always have sign-up bonuses, and they're always doing new contests, and they have just a bunch of other ways of trying to expand your wallet and get more money. There are plenty of ways to do that at Bet Online. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as all the teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BetOnline with the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So you mentioned earlier that the Dodgers' approach of not wanting to take away at bats from the guys currently in their system by drafting a bunch of hitters. Does the same dynamic apply with drafting this many pitchers? Where are they going to find room for these guys in their minor league system? And, what impact is that going to have on, the guys who are currently in the system?
That's a good question. And I think the dynamic that comes into play with pitchers here is all pitchers, whether professional guys coming out of college, guys coming out of high, well, maybe not guys coming out of high school, but you have a lot of pitchers doing a ramp up in innings from last year, the COVID shutdown year. So people have speculated that a lot of the college pitchers will be shut down, or if not shut down, at least very limited. You know, they might not go out to low A like they would in a normal draft year. You have a lot of the drafted prospects go to low A. I think you'll still have some, but less than usual. I think they'll keep guys at Camelback Ranch, especially the high school guys. I don't think you'll see either of them, assuming they sign, be anywhere besides Camelback Ranch.
Just kind of shifting a little bit, not directly away from the draft, but just with the last year in general, we talked about how there was someone that a scout or someone said told one of the reporters basically that AAA and the majors have never been this far apart. Is that something that you're kind of seeing in the minors as well?
Yeah, I remember that quote, and I don't know who said it, but anecdotally, it feels right. I think we've seen a lot of guys struggle, at least with the Dodgers, coming up from AAA, and that's both on the hitting and pitching side. So I think that the talent gap is definitely wide. But again, last year, the COVID shutdown year had such a huge role in that, because a lot of these guys didn't play full seasons last year. So they missed a lot of game reps. And even if they were at the alternate site, and many of them were, or they were playing independent leagues or doing whatever, I don't think that replaces the kind of game reps that you get on a day-to-day level at, one of the higher levels of the minor leagues. So it does feel right. It does feel like there's a larger gap than AAA and the majors than there've ever been, at least that I can remember.
then following up on that, you know, last year, limited scouting in season because a lot of seasons got cut, shut down or cut off. Was there like an increase in maybe summer leagues or winter leagues last year? Or was it just, you know, whatever they put in during the season? I'm sure, you know, a lot of these guys have names on their radar already, but do you think that they were able to get the proper scouting compared to last year where it was kind of, you know, lost in after a couple weeks of season?
This year, definitely. And something, again, Gasparino talked about was he felt like it was too much time. The draft was during the All-Star week this year, which is not the way it's ever been. It's about a month later than it's been. And he said in his interview that he thought it gave a lot of teams the ability to catch up on guys they were behind on, and it made it a more level playing field for the industry. And in turn, he felt like that eliminated some of their advantages on guys that they had worked hard to scout. So I think last year plays a role because it gives you less of a foundation to work on. You know, if a guy has a huge breakout year this year, but really didn't play much at all last year, you might have some questions there. Whereas in a normal year, you would have a lot more performance, at least for the college guys, to work on and to, you know, have as a reference. So we talked about the all pitchers. We talked about the specific type of pitcher that they went after. A lot of guys who throw the vertically breaking four seamer can get whiffs in and above the zone with that pitch. I do think it's interesting they drafted a few relievers. Not like they don't draft relievers, but 7th, 8th, 10th, 13th round, I think 14th too, maybe even 15th, a lot of relievers. So potentially guys who, you know, you make a tweak here or there and suddenly, you know, there's someone to watch. And now reliever prospects are never just value-wise going to be valued super highly because the role that they can contribute at the major league level is so limited. And, you know, when you have, you know, a window, a percentage of this guy has X percent chance of contributing this much, when that contribution is only 50 to 60 innings already, you know, you really lower the threshold for how valuable they're going to be. But controllable arms, as we've seen this year, can be valuable when you need depth. When you're hunting for depth and you don't have those guys within your system that you can just bring up and give you good innings, it can be tough. And that's where the Dodgers, that's where their major league struggles have kind of been, in those low leverage innings that they just haven't been able to cover. And I do actually want to mention that, you know, that issue that has been at the major leagues had no effect on this draft. They didn't draft all pitchers because, you know, they were struggling with pitching depth this year because of injuries. The two are not related.
My last two questions, I'll combine into one. Who ends up being the best player the Dodgers drafted, that has the best major league career, and who makes the major leagues first?
The best, I think it's got to be one of the two high schoolers, Bruns or Hubeck. And honestly, there are some people who have Hubeck over Bruns, not just, you know, present, but future. And I don't think that's a controversial take at all. Hubeck is, I think, what teams are looking for analytically with pitchers. He's got the four-seam fastball, the curveball, kind of a Walker Buehler type build, slender, skinny, but he's got a quick arm, clean action. I think if you were picking one, it has to be Bruns or Hubeck. And I think reasonable minds can differ on which one will ultimately end up being better. Quickest to the majors, I'll go Ryan Sublette, 7th rounder. I think now the thing with him is they didn't use him a whole lot very frequently as a reliever. And, you know, when you're pitching major league or minor leagues in the reliever, you know, you want them to go 2 or 3 times a week. He didn't really do that a whole lot for Texas Tech this year. But assuming this stuff still stays good on a more frequent basis, I think he would be someone who could move the quickest.
Well, I mean, that's all I got. And we appreciate you as always. You know, let the people know what you got going and where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Future Dodgers, futuredodgers.com. So you can find some of my content. I'm currently working on my draft recap post, hoping to get that done by tomorrow. I think I will get that done by tomorrow, and that'll be up at some point tomorrow. Well, I think you guys are having this come out tomorrow, so that would be Friday. Today, yeah. Tomorrow. Time is fake. Nothing matters anymore.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate you, Justin. And we'll if we don't have you on before next draft, then we'll see you next draft.
Sounds good, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Justin.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Big thank you again to Justin Lorber of Future Dodgers. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Future Dodgers for all the other stuff that you don't really get here, which is prospects and draft when it's draft time. The Dodgers start their second half today with a 3-game set against the Rockies. Hopefully go for the sweep, and that's what we'll be back to talk about on Monday. Maybe some more trades happen over the weekend. We'll see there. But either way, we'll be back Monday to talk about the Dodgers. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe and subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to tell coworkers. Make sure to tell people in your life that are Dodger fans that there's a podcast for them and you want them to listen. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydoc. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you need to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tear your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Today, on the Locked On Today podcast, Tom Brady gave sports fans another reason to love or hate him. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!